Abandoned cars littered the small concrete square outside Aokigahara Forest at the foot of Japan's Mount Fuji, gathering dust and leaves and dirt. At the entrance to the forest, pairs of shoes are neatly ordered as if their owners will one day return to collect them, but the shoes continue to pile up. A short walk into the 35 square kilometer sea of trees, known simply as the Suicide Forest, is a sign that reads, "Your life is a precious gift from your parents. Please think about your parents, siblings, and children. Don't keep it to yourself. Talk about your troubles." Each year, hundreds of people walk past the abandoned cars and the piles of shoes and the warning sign to end their life in the forest. A walk into the woods near the northwest base of the tallest mountain in Japan can be an interesting experience. Tour guides routinely tell hikers to stay close to the trails. Walking off the beaten path can mean stumbling across bodies hanging from trees or skeletons lying amongst the roots. The majority of suicides at Aokigahara are by hanging. Nooses litter tree branches throughout the forest, and some even use the steep 45-degree hills in the forest to hang themselves without climbing the trees. The dark allure of the forest is so powerful that it permeates to the surrounding areas. Fire Chief Masamichi Watanabe told the Japan Times, "There are people who come here to end their lives, but, uncertain as to where exactly the forest is, kill themselves in the neighboring woodland. What is certain, though, is that the numbers continue to rise each year." And we're back. Disquietude, another week. We're talking about what is probably, I think, the saddest place on earth.
Yeah.
This place is, if you want to talk negative energy, this place is full of it. We're going to talk about the Aokigahara Forest at the base of Mount Fuji in Japan. A place which was thrust into the public eye a few years ago when YouTuber Logan Paul.
Oh, see, I didn't know we were going to get into this so fast.
I just want to mention it. I don't really want
to talk about that
because that's been.
Oh no, I subjected myself to that video.
Well, for those who don't know or remember, Logan Paul went into the forest and came across a body and had it on his YouTube channel, and it was a big thing. Video, I mean, yeah. it was a huge thing.
So. I watched it today, actually, before I headed over here, because I was like, I didn't know about the forest until that controversy, really. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, let me just bone up on this fucking video for a second. And I lost so many fucking brain cells within the first 5 seconds of that video. He hadn't even gotten to the forest yet. He's like, yo, bro, guys, I just went into the forest and it was so crazy. Like, it's called the Suicide Forest. And then I saw a dead body. Like, I was just, I didn't want to be experiencing that anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. I watched that video once, one at the beginning of that whole controversy and just kind of, I mean...
Can you just imagine? I'm sorry. We'll get into the vengeful spirits, but if I did kill myself and that fucking guy walked up to my body, I would forcefully reanimate just to strangle him.
I'd like to see like a Grudge remake with Logan Paul.
Also, there's something, I'm just going to say this to you listeners. You can find it. It's really easy to find. I think I found it on like the second or third Google page. But he is so, there's a certain kind of YouTuber, the ones that are really, really big that are like, there's something wrong with them psychologically. He's saying, I have never seen a dead body before, but he has little to no reaction whatsoever to it. Like, you can tell he's shaken up at first and then he doesn't cry. He doesn't do anything. He's just like, yeah, okay, anyway, guys.
I think they framed the shot. They'd already found the body and then they decided to like kind of,
go back.
But that whole controversy brought the forest into the public eye. And then there was a movie made about it. That I have not seen, actually.
It looks terrible. Just simply
called the forest. Yeah, it looked kind of bad. It looks like they were maybe trying to cash in on the awareness.
The controversy.
About the forest. But as I said in the intro, by the way, parts of that intro come from an article from an Australian news site just simply called news.com.au, written by Rohan Smith. So go look that article up. Really, really good article. Just a little short blurb about the history of the forest and how it is now, how authorities are trying to keep people from going into the forest and killing themselves, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But one of the main reasons I want to talk about this, I kind of feel like if you have a podcast like ours, this is kind of like one of the de facto topics you got to talk about. This forest.
At least once.
And I am certain that it's haunted, even though I'm a bit of a cautious skeptic about hauntings. I think anyone who's listened to the podcast knows that. If I was to say a place was haunted, this would be it. And there are a lot of stories about it possibly being haunted. People who have visited in the forest, stuff that I came across on my internet.
Really?
Ooh,
can we talk about, so they say that it's haunted by the Yurei, which, which is like, you know, like, have you ever seen The Grudge and The Ring?
Yeah.
Like, the stereotypical Japanese ghost is one that wears, like, white kimono, has, like, the bedraggled hair. But they're saying that that might just be leftovers from when they would act out these ghost stories in kabuki, and they would have, like, wigs and stuff like that. But I found one story that I found really interesting that I wanted to share with you guys. Yes. Okay, so they're trying to relate it back to, like, pieces of literature that you might know, like, Japanese ghosts from. And this is the story of the death of Okiku. And it's a ghost legend that I'm not entirely sure if it's fictitious, but basically the synopsis is Okiku was a servant for a samurai, and he had, like, these 10 dishes that were priceless. But it's theorized that he actually only had 9, and he kept coming on to Okiku and trying to get her to marry him, and she kept rejecting him.
What?
And he told her that she stole the 10th dish and that he was going to have to contact the police and she would go to jail for the rest of her life, and told her that she could get out of it if she married him. And she kept, like, counting the dishes to make sure that they were all there, and so she rejected him again, and he threw her down a well.
What?
Yeah. And then, like, it's said that her spirit, you can hear her coming by her counting to 9
and counting the dishes.
The dishes, yeah. And then once she gets past the number 9, she screams. I thought it was just
is interesting,
really cool story, like a piece of folklore from Japanese culture.
But I've always loved the idea of the vengeful Japanese ghosts. One of the things I love about ghosts in Japanese culture as compared to Western culture is that typically in Western culture, ghosts are not harmful.
Yeah.
Think about The Sixth Sense. Now, some of the ghosts were harmful, but
my favorite movie.
But he was dead the whole time.
But the ghosts, they wanted help.
Yeah,
remember that's what they find out. They weren't.
It's all unfinished business, but right, in a very usually harmless way.
But in Japanese culture, no, the ghosts, they're mad. They want to fuck you up. They're like, I'm dead and I can't deal with this shit, so you got to come with me. And that's why I'm not gonna visit this forest, because I don't need mad spirits that committed suicide.
Which, yeah. The Yurei are tied to the yokai, which I didn't know. Like, I thought maybe it was, like, two separate things, but it's like it falls under the umbrella of yokai, which, for listeners, if we haven't talked about yokai before, I feel like I probably have. Those fall under, like, Japanese demons and spirits, and it really runs like a whole, like, gamut of things that a yokai can be. Some of them are ripped in half and come after you with sickles and all kinds of crazy shit.
Fuck all that. Call the Ghostbusters. We need you guys. Where are you at? Okay, so here's a story or a little factoid that I found. So Vice did a really good documentary about the forest.
I think I saw. Well, I started watching it, but it was not in English.
I should have.
I didn't feel like listening. Oh,
really? Yeah, I saw it years ago.
Read listening.
They actually found a curse. There's a Jack Skellington-like doll with its face cut off, nailed upside down to a tree, or as a sort of inverted crucifixion.
This is in the documentary?
Yes. According to the documentary's guide, Azusa Hayano, they nailed this character upside down as a symbol of contempt for society. It's more like a curse. The curse is nailed in. And then he says it is not uncommon for visitors, meaning people that go there and commit suicide, to leave a curse on the world they're leaving behind.
Mm. Oh, that's unpleasant.
That should let you know to stay the fuck out the forest. Yeah. Just don't go. People listening, they were like, I'm going to see the zoo. No, don't. There are curses here. And I bet somebody fucked with this. Ooh, look at this doll.
It's Robert.
Yeah, and now they're dead. So
fucking, I wish Logan Paul did.
This one's an interesting fact. So the forest is very easy to get lost in.
Oh, yeah.
With compasses and GPSs tend to not work in the forest.
So I did see that is a myth. It's because, okay, so it's at the foot of Mount Fuji. And so because of the volcanic rock, if you put your compass like up against the rock.
Against the rock.
Yeah, it'll make your, because of the magnetization, the natural magnetization of that rock, it will make your compass spin. But if you're like actually walking around with the compass, you should be fine. One thing though with the rock as well is there's like tons of like hidden caves and pitfalls that you could fall in if you venture off of the trail. And also because the rock is porous, it like kind of adds to the spookiness of it all, because it absorbs sound, so it really feels like you're alone.
Yes, this is, Mount Fuji is a dormant volcano. A lot of that is just volcanic rock.
Well, I also saw that I guess just because of how, I don't know the word for it, like how messy the forest is, they said people get lost in it. Well, like it's very thick.
They said that a lot of people will string tape behind them so they can find their way back.
Yeah.
But there are stories of people having their tape deliberately cut.
Those demons.
That's
not
like,
getting out of here.
Which also, if you're in a forest that muffles all the sound around you and you feel like you're alone, wouldn't that be the scariest shit in the world? You like go to follow your shit and it's like, like
that's straight horror movie shit right there.
Cut this.
That's why I'm not going. No.
Yeah, no. No thanks.
Another one, a writer for the Japan Times told of an incident where he heard a scream in the forest that he described as terrifying. He went to search for the source of the noise. He came across the body of a man who's at the base of a tree. And then he says the corpse had been dead for some time and could not have been the source of the scream. And there was no one else in the area.
Ooh.
So there's also like folklore. And this is why now they have people that go out and collect the bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you leave them there, then supposedly they scream for help.
Oh, no.
That's, come on, y'all.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah, man. That's, oh, no, I don't like that you had a story that validated that. I don't like it.
So something else I read, so it said that that I guess hanging was the most popular way that people kill themselves there. But then it said like poisoning and drug overdose were like the second. Mm-hmm. But why would do you feel like you would need to go to a forest to poison yourself or overdose? You
know, the authorities said they don't know why
people
go to the forest to kill this forest specifically to kill themselves. It could kind of, it could be, suicide has always had this copycat element to it.
Yeah.
I think people our age remember possibly the most famous or infamous suicide ever, Kurt Cobain killing himself. And I remember there being like a reported string of copycat suicides.
Oh, really?
Of people, you know, maybe they weren't shooting themselves with shotguns, but people that were killing themselves because Kurt Cobain killed themselves. And we actually see that with suicides of celebrities, a lot of copycat suicides. So I could, and based on what we know about suicide in Japanese culture, now I'm not an expert in Japanese culture. This is what I know from reading the internet. So fans, do not descend upon me. But suicide is not viewed in a negative light like it is in Western culture. It's almost an honorable thing to commit suicide. So if you've got this place where everyone in Japan goes to commit suicide and you're like, I think it's time.
I'm going to go there too.
I'm just going to go there too. Which is kind of odd because, you know, in Western culture, when people commit suicide, they want to be found. Like,
well,
yes and no.
Yeah. I was going to say sometimes that kind of stops people from doing it sometimes because they don't want their family or so they do it where no one would find, or not where their family would walk in and find them. But sometimes I think, you know, they're like, well, I don't want, if I die, I don't want to just be here. I want somebody to find me too. So.
Yeah. I want to say it was Hunter S. Thompson who killed himself. And I'm pretty sure that he did it where his family like knew that's what was happening. And he had told them
this is Hunter S. Thompson.
Well, he didn't want, like, he didn't want people to find him like that.
He was probably on drugs too.
Well, yeah, that was his life.
Like, he was a drug. Yeah. Like, he had done so many drugs, like, he just became a drug.
But he was one of those people that he told his family for a long time, like, I'm going to choose the way that I leave this earth. And that was something, like, they expected. But it was one of those things where he had to tell them, like, hey, don't walk into my office on this day because that will be the day. You know, but for the people that wouldn't want their family to find them, I can see why maybe you would write a note or something and then go off into the woods where you know somebody's going to pick up your body eventually.
Suicides in general, actually, most suicides do not leave a note behind, which is a very surprising fact because media makes you think
that's
what it is. But 60% of suicides do not leave a note.
And usually the person is very normal that day, like where nobody would thought anything was going to happen.
The place in which you commit suicide is so important to people that commit suicide. And I think the forest feels, for one, most of these people have some kind of contempt for society. As we saw, the guy left a curse. Aokigahara Forest, it's removed from modern capitalist Japan.
Yeah.
You know, it's a forest. It's out where nature is. It's not, you know, like this big city, bright lights thing. And I think that's part of the draw of people going there to kill themselves. So you guys, no one listens to the podcast knows, but you guys know that I do magic. And there's a magician who, when I was first learning magic, I read a lot of his books and watched a lot of his videos. So I learned a lot of stuff from this guy. And he was a very esteemed magician. He was one of the main members of this really stupid club called the Magic Circle at this place called the Magic Castle. The Magic Castle, for those who don't know.
Wait, the Magic Castle's real?
The Magic Castle's real.
It's not just from Arrested Development?
Not just from Arrested Development. It is a real place in Hollywood where magicians, it's a private club where magicians go to do shows and hang out and just do magician stuff. Actually, I thought about doing a whole episode of the Magic Castle because it's got a fucking dark history. There's some shit that goes on there. But this magician, his name is Daryl Easton, was one of the most esteemed members of the Magic Castle. And he had been doing magic there for almost 50 years. And one day, when somebody went to his dressing room because he was supposed to do a show, and they found him hanging in his dressing room. So I said that to say, you know, the Magic Castle was this guy's entire life. And he felt like if I'm gonna die, then this place that's of utmost importance to me is where I'm gonna do it. And I think people in Japan feel the same way about the forest. They know that the forest is a place that has a history of suicide. There are other spirits like yours in the forest. You know, you will not be. You go kill yourself in the Aokigahara Forest. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. Yeah. There are other troubled souls there with you. I think that's how people view it, and that's why they migrate to the forest.
It's gotta be a weird gravitational pull, you know? All those people collectively right in that spot. Mm. Like,
so something else interesting that I read where they, I think they said they sometimes they'll find like tents like pitched mm-hmm. out there. Mm-hmm. So it's like people come out there and camp out for a few days before they decide what? To commit suicide. No. It's like, let me think about it.
I don't know
it.
About that. I think some, you know, the forest is a tourist attraction. There are people mm-hmm. that go there just to see, you know, it's one of the creepiest places on earth.
So you're saying they're just, it's just a dirty asshole who didn't pick up their shit.
No, yeah, no, yeah, tent. Seriously. That's what it is. To put into perspective, I want to make sure listeners know the allure of this place. Now, the most famous suicide spot in the United States is probably the Golden Gate Bridge.
Mm. Which I didn't know until I was reading.
Yeah, there's
all
a lot of. I remember years ago visiting San Francisco. I was driving across it, but there's signs everywhere. You know, you can't even walk. You used to be able to walk along the bridge. At least then, when I was there, you could not mm-hmm. even do that. On the ends of either end of the bridge, there are like these lookout points. You know, so you can take pictures and stuff. But there's signs everywhere telling people don't jump. There was a really good documentary about it a few years ago.
Was it called The Bridge?
Called The Bridge, right. Mm-hmm. There is 1,600 known suicides in the history of the Golden Gate Bridge. They believe that to be more because they believe there are a lot of people that may mm-hmm. have jumped that we don't know about. But 1,600. The Aokigahara Forest has 105 a year. That means that it would take less than 20 years to match the amount of suicides that the Golden Gate Bridge has had in its entire history. Wow.
Well, I remember being like a teenager, peak weeaboo status, like learning about how people would just throw themselves on subway tracks in Japan. Yeah. Like that was like a common thing to happen.
Well, what's weird about the forest, though, is that so if you for those of you out there in internet land that are really macabre, there's a Wikipedia page called suicide sites, and it has all the the sites where people most frequently commit suicide, and they all have the same thing in common. They're all high places that typically people jump from. They're cliffs, they're buildings, bridges, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the Aokigahara Forest is pretty much the only one on the list that is not like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, people can hang themselves from the trees, and that is common, but we know that people go there and commit suicide and do not hang themselves there from trees. Some people, they said you find bodies on the ground because some people will hang themselves from the steep hills, attach themselves to roots that are coming out of the steep hills and hang themselves that way. So people don't go there to commit suicide because it's a convenient place to commit suicide. Yeah. Unlike the Golden Gate Bridge where it's like, okay, I just want to jump off this bridge and possibly die. I think that's probably the most disturbing aspect of the forest is
it's really planned.
Right. Yeah. It's you go there because it's a place where people go to commit suicide, not because it's easy to commit suicide there. Unlike the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah. Cause to go to the bridge or jump off a building, you just go there and jump. But like you said, you have to actually plan it out. You have to bring supplies with you to this forest.
Yeah. It's not a spur of the moment thing, which is honestly really sad because there are, you know, moments of despair that people have where you're like, oh, I just want to, you know, throw myself off this thing. But like to sit there and really like stew on that shit and come up with a plan and it's sad. Like I wish people didn't feel that way.
You guys know, you guys ever watched the show Destination Truth? It used to come on Sci-Fi as a paranormal investigation show. No. They claim to have caught a ghost on camera.
No,
the link is on YouTube if you want to watch it. Just know that shows like that are just so, you know, sensationalized. I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
They'll
wasn't
be like,
fake.
Oh my God, the ghost is rolling a ball. It couldn't possibly be the wind.
A Buddhist monk named Kiyomiya Fuki was visiting the forest to set up an altar. He gave an interview with the New Zealand Herald sometime after and said, he said, the spirits are calling people here to kill themselves, the spirits of people who committed suicide before. I think that's an interesting take.
I would believe
that. I think if you believe in Japanese ghost mythology, that's super sound. Because if you look at the Yuri and the Yokai, they want you to die too. They're mad because they're dead.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, join us.
But just even thinking about the source of the information, a Buddhist monk who, you know, meditates every single day is going to be more tapped into those empathetic waves. Right. Like, ugh. Mm-mm. So I was kind of deep diving into, like, a lot of people are saying culturally, I guess the Japanese don't necessarily view suicide the same way that Americans or even just Westerners in general do. And I think a lot of that has to do with, like, what are the Judeo-Christian values and, like, any mm-hmm. religion that's kind of built on that. So that goes for, like, you know, Jewish, Christian faith and Islamic faith. People were saying that it had a lot to do with, like, samurai and how, like, it was always an honorable death as a samurai if you were, like, facing some sort of dishonor to kill yourself via seppuku. And so that's kind of culturally been translated nationally, I guess, mm-hmm. at some... But I was, while I was digging into it, I found that the Japanese have a really different view of, like, loans and debt and that sort of thing.
Yes, I saw that.
Their families have to co-sign for their loans. Like, up to, like, four people may have to co-sign for your loans. And if you go into debt, it's, like, a really...
Yeah.
It really affects
financial.
It's a really big deal. And so then, as I was digging, I found this New York Post article that was talking about the Japanese... evaporating people. And so it's people that, instead of committing suicide, whole families will disappear themselves and start new lives somewhere where they're not tied back to their debt and whatever they don't like about their old life or just the shame that they might bring on their family.
A bad idea.
But isn't that mind-blowing?
Like, I know.
They would sever all ties with their friends and their families over, like, a $4,000 loan, you know, to just pick up. And
I also read that it was, I guess maybe like a urban legend or something of the forest where people, I guess, if they didn't have enough money to feed everybody in the home, they would lure the oldest person.
There's a term for it. There's a Japanese term, and I wish I...
Ubus? I can't
pronounce it.
It
started with a B.
Oh, the one I saw, it started with a U. I can't... Yeah, don't come for us for butchering.
Yeah, sorry, but no. The,
oh, they're going to come for us. The internet's going to come for us.
Granite dumping.
And it was like they lure them there to starve them.
So so people were trying to dig into the origins of, you know, the suicide forest, and they were saying that there is, like, an old book that was written, like, mid-century about the suicide forest that they were trying to kind of pin it on, but that was written after it became a phenomenon. And they were saying that maybe it had something to do with people dumping their grandmothers off into this forest.
Crazy.
Because in Japan, it's all about the family unit health as a whole. And as, like, an elderly person, you're not able to contribute necessarily. So it's like, if you're going to be another mouth to feed, but you can't contribute to the health of the family, then maybe you should just go off and die. Like, which they have no, to be clear, they have no reports of people actually doing that. Right. Except for, like, one guy back in, like, 2018 who dumped his grandma there.
I think there's a nugget of truth. Whenever you hear urban legends, there's always a small bit of truth there. That's kind of fucked up. But it's important to note the Japanese views on death as a whole and suicide are far different than Western culture. Right. Because our views are deeply steeped in religion. Even if you are not religious, your views about death, if you come from Western culture, come from religion. Suicide is in Western culture is seen as a negative thing because mm-hmm. mainly because
you're going to hell.
Yeah, a lot of religions mm-hmm. feel like that it's you know irredeemable. Mm-hmm. You can't ask for forgiveness if you're dead, right? Whereas in Japanese culture, that's not the same. In fact, you know, going back to World War II, kamikaze pilots.
Yeah,
there were people signing up to be kamikaze pilots, and a lot of people don't understand the kamikaze pilot. That was an actual program that the Japanese Imperial Navy began. A lot of people think that Japanese fighters were just crashing into warships because they were being shot down. No, that wasn't the case. The kamikaze fighter program was designed. We're going to train pilots to crash their planes into warships and die.
Yeah.
Because it's more effective than trying to sink ships through traditional methods.
Well, you're essentially flying a big bomb.
You're flying a big bomb. The planes did not have any offensive or defensive weaponry. They were kitted out with torpedoes and bombs so that they would have a bigger explosive impact. And they would just, these people were flying. It was something like 3,500 kamikaze pilots.
That's a lot.
Ended up dying during the war. And those people were honored.
Well, yeah, you're fighting for a cause or dying for a cause.
So I don't think there's no way you could get a kamikaze program for American troops. I'm not saying that you should, but if you even.
No, we're way too obsessed with individualism. like, what? Well, I gotta do that for who?
I crashed my plane together. have you guys ever seen the movie Suicide Club?
I have not, and that's on my list.
Oh my God.
It's on my list.
Man, so Suicide Club, a Japanese horror movie from 99, 2000-ish. That's when I first saw it, about a rash of mass suicides that happen across Japan. Very, very, very good movie. And it was super controversial when it came out. And it kind of exposed the world to Japanese suicide culture. You know, what they think about suicide. Very, very good movie. Listeners, if you've never seen it, you should definitely go watch it. It kind of kicked off the J-horror fad of the
I remember when I 90s. Did stumble across it, it looked very Battle Royale-ish. Yeah, very, and so yeah, I was very, like, oh, what's
same,
this?
Same marketing style.
Yeah.
But it was very, very, very good movie. So, and I think movies like that, they don't contribute to the idea of suicide in Japanese culture, but I think they do reinforce some of those ideals in Japanese culture about suicide. I think it's just sad that there is like this one place on earth and that is its association.
Yeah.
We don't really associate the Golden Gate Bridge with suicide.
Right.
Not
no one calls it the suicide bridge.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Even though 1,600 people have jumped from it and died. But the Aokigahara Forest will always be known as the suicide forest.
Which I think so on that point, last night I decided, I was like, let me see what I can find on YouTube that's not, well, you thought you were going for a walk in the woods, but so I was like, let me see what I can find.
I can subscribe, like, share, subscribe. Smash that like button. Smash. Like you would smash a beer can you found in the forest.
So it was just a walkthrough at night. Like a 45-minute walkthrough of a guy with a camera and a flashlight. No music, just him walking. You can hear him breathing. And I was just like, well, let's see if he finds anything interesting. So he's walking down the path. He doesn't walk off the path. That's important to mm-hmm. note. It's beautiful. It was a beautiful forest. And even just what little you could see with the camera and the flashlight, and there's like little houses and like little things nearby, so you see like lights off in the distance. It doesn't feel like he's super removed from everything, but there are times that you can tell he's scared because he hears something and then he'll just stop and he'll point the flashlight straight at whatever was making the noise and then he'll move. But it's it really helped kind of dismantle a lot of the TikTok, YouTube about it, because it's like, here's, it's a real place with like real people that probably walk those trails all the time, and it's not a big fucking deal to them. You don't see shoes, you don't see dolls like this. I'll tell you, listeners, just go down that YouTube hole with me and just go look just go look at some of it. Some of it just looks like you would walk to a park in your neighborhood and be like, hey everybody, let's go for a hike for 15, 20 minutes of our lives and then turn around. It just looked very plain, pretty quiet, but it looked like a normal ass park.
Which it sucks that it took somebody like Logan Paul being a douchebag for people to gain awareness about this beautiful yet sad place.
And it's like, it was super cool. They have a bat cave that you can go to. They have a few caves that are safe for people to go to. And then there's like one cave that's supposed to be frozen year round.
Let it go.
Yeah. Like that seems like so, frozen. It seems really cool. Also, like, I kind of wanted to go.
So something else that I read, I forgot, was, so this could, I guess, be part of the influence of why people go there. So it was two things. One, it was, I don't remember, long time ago, someone wrote a novel about this woman that went into, they called the Sea of Trees, I guess that's another name for this forest, to kill herself. So they said, I guess the Japanese culture was very influenced by that novel. And there is like a book called like the Suicide Manual, and it specifically states that this forest is like a good place to go kill yourself. So I'm like, wait, the Suicide Manual?
Why do people commit just anything right. to paper?
Well, speaking of, have you guys heard of the novel, The Tower of Waves?
No.
It was written in 1961 by Shiocho Masamoto. But it's about a couple who decide to kill themselves in the Aokigahara Forest. Mm. After the book was published, there began a spike of suicides in the forest. That may be where it started, and like anything, just snowball effect.
What year was it published?
1961.
Oh, that's the one that I think that I was reading about where they said like there was the spike afterwards, but that's, he had written that book based off of suicides that were already occurring there.
So are we traveling there? We going?
No field trip. Mm-mm.
Listen,
I don't want to go there.
I'm sure there's a local bat cave I can check out. Like, these, I don't have these to pictures go there.
Of the ice caves there look great. A story from a woman named Louise Hung. She lives in Japan, and she went there in 2015. And she said, "I suddenly became aware of how quiet the forest was. There was no breeze, no sound of woodland creatures, aside from the occasional crow calling in the distance and the muffled sound of snow falling from the tree branches." See, right there, I would notice, hey, I don't hear any animals or birds.
That's
maybe I should get the fuck out of here.
Stand out
which,
of there.
Which is odd because there's a lot of food there for animals to eat.
And then there's also, I was just reading through, there's a lot of animals that live around there. There's like black bears. And
right, so you would think, I mean, a lot of times when people get missing in the woods somewhere in North America, their bodies are almost instantly ravaged by local wildlife, right?
The fact that that's not happening is now making me think, do we just have a lot of animals that just eat people?
I don't know, yeah.
Like, wait a minute.
Why are animals not eating people?
In their forest.
The animals know better. They're like, we're not going.
But that, yeah, anywhere. What if it has like such a gross presence that they're like, no, I'm going to fly around.
That's kind of crazy. She did say that they visited because they wanted to go to the Narasawa Ice Cave, a stunning national monument that was formed in the year 864 following a volcanic eruption in Mount Fuji. 500 feet long, and the temperature hovers right above the freezing point, covered in ice all year round. She said, while not spooky, it was spectacular. And she has a picture on Instagram, and it looks awesome. So, yeah, if I went, I would want to. There's an amusement park.
Right by
it. The Fuji Q Highland Amusement Park. It's right next to it. That's great.
Huh. That's what I'm saying. It looks like the visuals. It's a normal fucking park. There's signage. There's like, you are here.
It's Mount Fuji. It's the largest mountain in Japan. It used to be a volcano. It just kind of sucks that there's a forest full of vengeful suicide victims.
It's literally there. Like, it looks like if you were to go to one of our bigger parks, and then just they like had signs that like, hey, don't go that way.
Yeah, imagine if you went to Carowinds.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that the forest.
Don't go that way. It's a lot of dead people.
Stay out of there.
Like, that shit is, that's crazy to me. That's just so insane.
Oh boy. So we're not going to visit this forest anytime soon. Yeah. And the Japanese authorities are kind of, they don't like the fact that it's become a tourist attraction, essentially.
Yeah.
But there's nothing they can do about that. And they're always looking for ways to prevent people from going into the forest specifically to kill themselves. I do think it does raise awareness to the issue of people committing suicide, because it doesn't really matter if they go into the forest to do it or not. No, you don't. You generally don't want people killing themselves, regardless of where they do it. But I think there's a belief that the forest compels people.
I kind of think it does.
Probably. Yeah.
Now, there are stories from tour guides and people who live in the area that they've seen people come out of the forest who went in there with the intent to commit suicide and either failed or just didn't carry out the action for whatever reason. One of the tour guides said that he's had to call ambulances for people who had failed attempts. So, so not everyone that goes in there stays in there. But I can't think of any other reason why just a single area would have 105 suicides a year in this area. I mean, but far and away, no other place on earth has that many deaths. Certainly not, I mean, besides war, war regions. War-torn regions, but
I think some places like carry that kind of energy with them. Yes. Like, I was just having a conversation with a family member a little while ago. We were going back to Aaron. We were going back to where we grew up, and we don't know anyone who lives in that city that doesn't have some sort of horrible trauma or isn't, haunted by it in some way. And it's like, it just seems like a vacuum of unhappiness. Yeah. And it's like, you would never, if you were just visiting, you wouldn't pick up on that. But the more you talk to people, there's no one, no one.
I think when you have that much death in one place.
Yeah.
If you've ever listened to people that have visited Auschwitz.
Yeah.
In Poland.
It just leaves a mark.
Yeah, because maybe, and I understand, because you know what happened there. So you got to think, if you didn't know what happened,
would you
feel the same way? But some people are like, man, there's just this feeling there that they cannot describe, because millions and millions of people were murdered at Auschwitz. So I would have to think there has to be some kind of, Not hauntings, and to be fair, I've never heard a story about hauntings at Auschwitz. Millions of people visit there, and I've never heard a ghost story from there. But everyone's like, man, there's just like this clinging darkness in the air that just never goes away while you're there. And I'm wondering if it's the same for Aokigahara Forest. If there's just, and I understand the when you look at pictures of the forest, it just looks like dark and gloomy. It's a very thick forest.
Yeah.
Not a lot of sunlight gets through. Mm-hmm. So it just, it just looks like there's like always this dark cloud hanging over it. I wonder if that's part of the appeal too. I wonder if people know that it's a dark and gloomy kind of place.
It's just full of despair.
I want to go there. And, you know, when you are feeling that kind of way, you don't want to go to Disneyland, right?
Why not?
Well, I mean, actually, Disneyland might make you commit. I've been to Disney parks three times. And we did an episode on Disney you might actually want to go to Disney World to kill yourself. But
there's a certain amount of despair there, for sure.
But I do think that is part of the draw. You know, it's a dark and gloomy place. This is where I'm going to go in my life. Just very sad. More sad than creepy, honestly.
Yeah.
But the ghosts thing, I am interested in whether or not it's haunted.
Same. And I mean, there's plenty of the thing about, you know, Japanese folklore is that there's a lot of it. And there's a lot of descriptions of things that you may see, but not necessarily testimonials of things that people have seen. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of frustrating. I wanted to find like a cool story, but I couldn't find one. I did read that Will-O-the-Wisps are a multicultural thing, which I thought that was an Irish-centric thing.
I thought it was too.
But no, there's plenty. There's apparently Will-O-the-Wisps out there in Aokigahara.
That would be so creepy to see, you know, even if it wasn't a real, you know, Will-O-the-Wisp, you know, but there's certainly creatures out there that have some kind of bioluminescence that would, even like a lightning bug, aka like a firefly, you're out there in the dark and you see a firefly, you're probably like, oh shit, what the fuck was that? That's right. Yeah, I'm not going. There are a bunch of people, YouTubers, who have, even before Logan Paul went, that have gone into the forest. So listeners, you can go watch those videos. Take everything that they say with a grain of salt. Take everything you hear us say with a grain of salt. I would love if any of you have ever visited.
Ooh, yeah.
To drop us a line and let us know what you thought of the experience. So, Last thing before we sign off, I'm actually kind of surprised that this place doesn't have a bigger pop culture presence. They made one crappy movie about it, and that was about it.
It has that girl in it from Game of Thrones, Marjorie Tyrell.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that it's not.
It's on its way. You know it is.
Yeah. I'm surprised there wasn't more entities cashing in on the Logan Paul incident.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that with, you know, The Grudge and The Ring and what was the other one? Dark Water, like in the middle of that phase of Hollywood, I'm surprised we didn't get anything then. That's weird.
Well, I think because a lot of that was Hollywood driven. You know, they were most of those J-horror films that came to prominence became popular because they had been remade
from
the West. So there were Americans remaking Japanese movies, essentially. And so they might not have just been aware of the cultural phenomenon that was the Aokigahara Forest. So, you know, maybe once they get... I don't know, maybe something else will bring the forest back into prominence and we'll get a really good movie. But there are some good documentaries out on it. And
I will say, in trying to dive into various media, like to research it, there's so many of those cringy fucking TikToks and YouTubes.
Yeah.
YouTubes.
I didn't see the YouTube, the TikTok.
I wanted to just venture. I was like, maybe somebody who actually has any sort of like educational merit on TikTok has actually done that. And no, it is all the you and Malia. And I was like, I can't.
Hey, that's what the kids want.
I guess so, man. But it's those are the people that believe that mermaids are real. Like it bothers me.
Mermaids are real. Have you ever seen the lighthouse?
Hello. They'll be like, we found this dead dog on a beach and it's totally a mermaid. Like, yeah. Shut up.
Well, I think there were people that maybe wanted to cash in on the Logan Paul incident, but that the negativity that surrounded that was
there was
so much. Yeah. Plus, you know, I think people want to show a certain modicum of respect to
that
died there. Yeah,
I'm thinking that's probably why Hollywood doesn't have a J-horror movie to like latch onto, is because I don't think, other than the books, I mean, I don't know, I could be speaking out of complete ignorance, but I didn't see anything in the research that suggested that the Japanese have a horror movie about it.
So because of the way suicide culture is in Japan, it probably is not a big enough a deal to warrant a horror movie.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't be that horrific. And
the way suicide is portrayed in Western culture, I think would a lot of studios would shy away from that topic in the sense of a horror movie. That's why they never remade Suicide Club. It just wouldn't work over here. People be like, why is everyone killing themselves?
Yeah.
Well, you know, don't they know that Jesus
saves?
Jesus will condemn you. So
but even if you think about in Battle Royale, like the first minute of that, where
people jumping off the damn cliffs because they don't want to play the game.
Well, that, but then also, you remember in the beginning, the main character, his dad, like, kills himself. But they did it in a way that it was, like, really demeaning and embarrassing for his dad. Like, his dad didn't have his pants on or some shit. Mm-hmm. There was, like, a roll of toilet paper. It was just very, like, oh, you're really trying to make it. Like, yeah, he's traumatized, right. But also that's really embarrassing for his dad. Like,
right. Okay. All right. I think that about covers it for the forest. Don't you guys think?
There's stuff to dig into there, and I would definitely, I personally will be digging more into yokai because I think that's fun.
You know, maybe we'll do an episode during October because we've never really delved into most of our ghost stories that we tell on our podcast are Western based.
Either, yeah.
You know, the UK or North America. There's some really good stuff in Asian culture.
True.
That we could dig into urban legends.
Honestly, I'd love to see what like Cambodia has to offer.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
There's some
Vietnam.
Yes.
I mean, even just when we had that recording of what they used to play over Vietnam, the helicopter.
Oh yeah, that's right. In order to scare. Yeah, that shit was scary as hell.
Listeners. One of our listeners that I know personally, I will call him Big Seth, was like listening to that episode in the car and he started fumbling for the dial. He's like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it. He was like, what did he say? He was like, I'm Dominican. I'm Christian. You got to turn it off. He freaked out.
The episode Ali's referring to is one of our disturbing audio episodes. I don't remember which one specifically.
I think it was volume one.
Yeah, we've done three, I think. So go back and listen to those to hear exactly what she's talking about. But yeah, we might have to do that over Halloween. I think we should look at some Asian ghost culture. If there's anyone out there that could contribute resources to us or just even have anything personal as far as Asian urban legend ghost culture goes, then let us know.
Yeah, your stories are definitely a resource and we love to read them. I personally will reread it several times to scare myself.
Yes. Also, that's a good plug. This is the point where a lot of people are going to start turning the podcast off anyway because they're like, okay, all right, I'll give you an hour. We're done. But we did launch a YouTube channel last week that features subscriber stories. So if you have any stories that you'd like for us to narrate for our YouTube channel, be sure to reach out to us. You can reach out to us on our Facebook page, which is just simply Disquietude, or our Instagram page, Disquietude Pod. The YouTube channel itself is called Disquietude Stories. You can reach us via email there or reach us via our email, disquietude000@gmail.com, or go to our website, www.disquietude.net, and contact us through there. We are very, very friendly. I will contact you back, I promise. I've even made a lot of internet friends from people that have reached out to me and were like Facebook buddies.
Yeah, compadres.
Yeah, it's very, very, very cool. So we're cool people. I swear we're not like we don't think we're elitist because we have a crappy podcast. That, by the way, has gotten 40,000 total listens. Thank you very much to Yay. All of our fans.
Thank you.
That have made that happen, despite the fact that the pandemic was really, really hard on us.
Yeah.
As far as the podcast goes.
For lots of different reasons.
Lots of different reasons. Yeah. But, you know, we're back in full effect now, I think.
I'm pretty sure.
So here's how I want to end this episode. I know that, you know, we've made light of a really dark subject, which is kind of what we do on Disquietude, but suicide is a very, very serious subject. I want everyone to know that you can go talk to anyone, if you are feeling suicidal. Even calling the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. If that's what it takes, then that's what it takes, okay? I know that after we did the Blue Well Challenge episode, I got a lot of negative feedback from that episode. Yeah. From people who were suicide attempt survivors, self-harmers, saying that that episode triggered some PTSD. And normally I wouldn't do trigger warnings, and I still probably won't, because I feel like if you come to Disquietude, you kind of know what you're getting. You know what you're getting to when you click on the link. But at the same time, suicide is an important issue that we should all be aware of. So,
And to add to that, I am a certified veteran of the Grippy Socks Club. Was hospitalized before. Was thankfully grounded enough in myself to realize that I needed help, and reached out to my mom, who came to help me, and, you know, realized in my hospitalization, like, I don't want to come back here. I think I'm good on this for the rest of my life, which I'm hoping to carry out for a little bit longer here. But, you know, even if you don't feel like you want to contact anybody, you don't want to call that number, whatever, hit up anybody.
Call us.
Yeah, call us. Anybody.
I'm being dead
serious.
Yep.
Talk to me. I've been through it. I know what it's like. It sucks, and it's a really dark place to try and crawl out of. And sometimes you need a little brevity. You need a little, like somebody like my dumbass who will just make stupid jokes at you and try to pick you up a little bit until you go get help, because ultimately you are going to need to go get help.
Absolutely. So having said that, we're going to be back next week. I don't know what topic it is. We're going to discuss that in our post-production meeting. But hopefully it'll be something creepy, because Halloween's coming up. And last year, we really didn't do anything for Halloween. So we'll have something good for you guys. I promise. Once again, thank you very much for listening and your support. And hopefully you'll hear our lovely voices again next week.
Bye. Stay out of the forest.
Stay out of the forest.